This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. My co-host is Tass. Our guest is the Federal Labor member for McNamara, Josh Burns. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. I am feeling much better. I managed to contract the lurgy over summer, and it really floored me a little bit. But I feel myself again, and I'm very grateful for that, and I'm very grateful for the vaccines. Unfortunately, I wasn't eligible for the third, so I think my wife, who had three, she managed to not get COVID, which, if it's good luck or if it's the vaccines, yep. I'm eternally grateful for that. And my daughter and I did manage to contract it, but she was okay and not really too symptomatic, which was a huge stress relief. But
what was the impact on you? What did it feel like?
It came in waves, to be honest. It was a really bizarre feeling. I remember I sort of started with some headaches, then body aches, and then my sore throat started. That was probably one of the worst parts about it. It was sort of felt like I swallowed a porcupine. And and then without getting too graphic, it was a little bit of sort of coughing up unpleasantries. Oh. Yeah, that wasn't too fun. So that took about a week to sort of subside, and the temperature and all of that stuff to subside. But then I was really, really fatigued and was just having lots of naps. I mean, I enjoy a Saturday nap with the best of them. You know, after a good robust session with Macca on Joy FM, I do enjoy a good nap. But you know, honestly, I've never had chronic fatigue, but I can imagine it would be something like that. Your body just wanted to sleep.
Did you lose your sense of taste or smell?
No, I didn't. Which makes me think I had Omicron, because it was all in my throat. Yeah. It was really an uncomfortable experience in my throat. So, yeah, it wasn't mild. It was pretty uncomfortable, and I wouldn't want my grandparents to be to contracting it. It's not something that we can diminish. I mean, we had 41 people in Victoria lose their lives with coronavirus today, so it's serious, and it's not over. And different experiences from different people. Some people can be extremely lucky, but some people can be extremely vulnerable to this.
So your colleague, the other Josh, neighboring seas, said that it was just mild.
Which, as in Josh Frydenberg.
Correct.
Well, he's much tougher than I am, obviously. I think from my experiences, it definitely makes a difference if you've had three doses. And I had was only eligible for two. I had AstraZeneca, so my second dose was pushed back. But look, all I can say is please go and get your third dose, please. It's not something that we should joke about. And it may not be, you might not be the person who this thing goes after with vengeance, but it might be one of your loved ones. And please, we need to do everything we can to reduce the spread of this thing. It's still having a devastating effect. So
we'd like to change topics, if that's okay.
Would you?
One of the things that we're particularly interested in speaking with you about is your experience on this Senate committee. Yep. The Senate committee that was designed to have a look at the religious discrimination legislation that's been already tabled in Parliament. So you're a member of that committee.
So there was two committees that looked at this. One was the Senate committee, and one was the Joint Committee on Human Rights. And I was on the Human Rights Committee. We had both members of the House of Representatives and the Senate on this committee. So it was a joint committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the one I was.
But there were two committees.
There were two different separate inquiries.
And they both looked at the same thing?
They did. So
really? So, it sounds really efficient to me.
This whole thing has been bizarre, right? This whole thing has been bizarre. And So as a member of parliament, you can't talk about what happens in the committee meetings and what happens in the committee process. So I can't. It's actually illegal for me to talk about it. But what I can make is some sort of broad statements.
On the committee, first of all, is who?
So on the committee, we had government members, Liberal members, National members. We had Labor members, and we had a Green member.
Dominated by government,
dominated. Yeah, government has the numbers on the committee. Yep. And we were, just like the last 3 years, to be honest, since the Prime Minister made this election commitment that he wanted to bring in a Religious Discrimination Act, we have said consistently, you know, work with us. There is a way to do this. John Howard brought in an Age Discrimination Act, which was a piece of legislation in the same sort of convention and sort of drafting method as what we did when we introduced the Sex Discrimination Act, which is not a perfect piece of legislation, but it was a start. It was one of the first of its kind. And then also the Disability Discrimination Act. The Labor Party believes you shouldn't be discriminated against in this country. And I think that's something that we absolutely agree on. And you shouldn't be able to do that on someone's religion. You shouldn't be able to discriminate against someone because they're Islamic or Jewish or, you know, Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever. So,
or young or old. Macca explained today that there's been a subtle change in the PM's nuancing on this.
Yeah, so 1,213 or 14 days ago, the Prime Minister promised to legislate to protect, and I'll use the term, queer kids and teachers. Now, what he said in the last week, and we'll come back to the report in a moment, is, yes, we're going to protect kids.
Yep.
So I didn't actually realise that discrimination was age-dependent. So why do kids need protecting? Well, don't kids, when they grow up and become adults, some of them might become teachers? They don't need protecting. What is that about? Is it because kids... It's a bit inverse, this. Is it because kids don't vote?
Well, that's a. I'm not gonna. I mean, no one should be discriminated against, Macca. That's the core of this. And what we wanted to do as a Labor Party is trying to find a legislative instrument that you know, whenever you're dealing with discrimination acts, you always want to find that balance, right? So how do you prevent discrimination while also ensuring the rights of others and the rights of different organisations? And that's what this whole exercise was meant to be about. But instead of working with the Labor Party, you know, basically since the Wentworth by-election, where the Prime Minister made that commitment that you were talking about, Macca.
He made a promise.
Yeah.
He made a promise. And, you know, it was supposed to be bipartisan. You know, Anne Webster and Senator Henderson, right, threw bipartisanship. And you know where they threw it? They threw it on the altar of ScoMo worship, right? They squibbed. They had the opportunity. And if listeners think this is political, no, this is about policy. This is deliberate policy, right, to discriminate against our community and hiding behind a theological precept to do it and only doing it for kids.
So let's go back a little bit. Yep. Are you saying that the report, Macca, says that discrimination is permissible?
The report, you know...
What does the report say?
Josh, the findings of the report, and we'll come to Labor's position in a moment, but the findings of the report are what?
So the findings of the report is that there should be some amendments to the legislation, that there's recommendations to amend the legislation, which, to be honest... It doesn't make the bill worse. Like those amendments that the committees have suggested are take the bill in the right direction, but not to the point where everyone is comfortable. That they are not enough, and we saw that. But Labor took the position, and we still hold the position, that you shouldn't be able to discriminate against someone on the basis of their faith. So there should be a bill that passes that protects people against discrimination. But what's in that bill is still the outstanding matter. And Morrison had the choice. He could either bring in a bill that's conventional and that's isolated to protecting people against discrimination, or he could put in all of these extra aspects. That frankly was all about picking a fight with the Labor Party and creating these sorts of ridiculous connotations that Labor doesn't support people of faith, which, you know, frankly is not something we're going to take the bait on. And now the question is, and Labor made these statements clear in our additional comments, in the Human Rights Report is that there are parts of the bill that are unresolved. And that includes the parts that Equality Australia have been raising, including obviously the discrimination, potential amendments to the Sex Discrimination Act. But it also goes to other parts of the bill that include the statement of belief clause, which is a very contentious clause. And we've seen a number of Liberal Party members echo the Labor Party's concerns about this clause, including Dave Sharma, including Andrew Bragg, including Warren Entsch, including Bridget Archer. I mean, it's not just one or two. This is, you know, Trent Zimmerman has expressed concerns about the bill. And instead of sitting down with his own side and working through these issues in a collaborative way and then coming to the Labor Party with a functional bill that hopefully would unite the country, not divide the country, we had the Assistant Attorney General come out this week during the, you know, while we were, as a committee, were meant to be reporting on the bills, saying, no, we're not going to be amending the Sex Discrimination Act at the same time as we do this Religious Discrimination Act. We then had the Prime Minister saying, yes, we are going to do it at the same time. We then had Liberal moderate members saying, here's what we need in the bill. All the while, we're as a committee looking back, trying to say, well, you know, what do we think of these bills? And it's been, you know, it's been so frustrating and sort of, you know, Matt Keane described it sort of like, dealing with the Morrison government was kind of like knocking your head against a wall, you know, like I don't have any more hair to pull out. That's what Matt Keane said. And he's the Liberal treasurer of New South Wales. I get exactly what Matt Keane's saying. These people have been impossible to deal with. And instead of negotiating with us in good faith to get the bill in a place that unites the country and gives comfort to people, the Morrison government has basically been at war with themselves on the front pages of our national newspapers.
So what's the report say? What's the conclusion? I mean, you've said that it should make some amendments, but what does that mean? What does that mean for Macca and I as members of this community?
Well, so the report, Labor report, goes to amendments of the Sex Discrimination Act that they need to be done. They should have been done 3 years ago and they haven't been done yet. It also goes to the two most contentious clauses, which is around the hiring and firing practices and the override of state-based protections, and you know, and whether or not they're constitutional, you know, whether or not this law actually would survive the courts, but also, you know, we outlined principles at the start of this whole debate that said we are not going to support anything that weakens existing protections in the law, and there have been submissions made that says that this bill does weaken existing protections in the law, so that is unresolved, and we say as a Labor Party that is unresolved. We are not at a position where we are comfortable with that. And then the other part is the statement of belief. That is a part of the bill that is, you know, that is overriding potential other existing protections in the law, and that's, you know, that's causing real consternation, not just with groups like Equality Australia and the Labor Party, but with the Liberal Party. Dave Sharma and Andrew Bragg. Andrew Bragg, who's the Liberal Senator from New South Wales, put in a recommendation that the Statement of Belief clause should be removed in its entirety. So what I'm saying to you today, and my main message, is there is a long, long way to go. And the ball is entirely in Scott Morrison's court. He can either work with his own side and the Labor Party to come up with a bill that alleviates everyone's concerns, and frankly would you know, that is a very different bill to how it looks at the moment, or he can continue to fight with his own side. Now they are, like, they're a mess at the moment. Barnaby Joyce is calling him a liar. They're falling apart. But this is, you know, we are not going to be bullied into Scott Morrison's law. We are going to act on principle. We've outlined those principles. We've outlined our concerns. And now it's up to the government to decide what
that sounds to me like. Having all these different bills all over the place is a very confusing and messy process. Wouldn't it be easier to just have a human rights charter?
Oh, of course. But Scott Morrison has the numbers on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Well, I'm not sure he does.
Well, that's a very good point, Matt.
Can I just,
sure,
you know, a couple of comments. So Clause 12 of the bill.
Yep.
It actually, this is...
What does it say, Macca?
It provides a minister with the power to prescribe other laws to be overridden. So it gives the minister power by regulation to override other laws. Now, of course, we trust ministers. All respect to you, Josh. We trust our members of parliament, right? We trust them, you know, to act in our interests.
Yep.
Tass and I are going to start our own religion because that's the only way we can have protection under law for what we think. So, again, we have here, you know, the National Catholic Education Commission.
That sounds like autocracy to me.
Expressed concern about the rise in the threats to pluralism regarding religion. Now, the head of the National Catholic Education Commission is an old, unreconstructed grouper, Jacinta Collins, who couldn't get pre-selection again in the Senate, right? This is a woman who heads an organisation that traffics in this sort of shit, right? They want the right to discriminate against us. They've lost the argument in the public domain around gender and sexuality, right? This is an organisation, right, that isn't happy with just physical abuse. They're happy with other abuse of children, right? This organisation and religious organisations that support this bill think about what they want to achieve. They want to achieve, they've all been watching The Handmaid's Tale a bit too much, I think. They want to be able to dictate the complete policy prescriptions for our society. And my question to you, Josh,
yep,
if this bill comes into the House of Reps and then into the Senate with the amendments that have been suggested, will Labor vote for it?
Because it's
a bad bill.
Sure. Let me say this, Macca. The bill that was introduced in the last sitting week is making not just the Labor Party raise serious concerns, but it's making Liberal Party members raise serious concerns. I find it almost inconceivable. So either the Liberal Party members, their word means nothing, or there will be significant changes to this bill. And I think that right now, we have options available to us as a Labor Party, right? We do. We have lots of options available to us.
Why don't you just not vote for it?
Well, there are parts of the bill that, as I explained to you before, that are fine, right? They're really fine. And the choice isn't, you know, that's a choice that you know, a political party can exercise. The choice could be to support the bill, to amend the bill, to support amendments, to not support the bill. There's lots of options that we could go down. And I know that Scott Morrison is desperate for us to say, you know, we...
Well, it's clear what Morrison's trying to do. He's actually trying to wedge you.
Yeah.
And he's also trying to use up valuable real estate in Parliament over the next two sitting weeks focused on culture wars rather than the real agenda, which is, you know, the status of this government, this country.
And the crisis in aged care and the, you know, the state of wages in this country, the insecure nature of work, all of the different things that face Australians, whether or not Australians can get a rapid antigen test, like all of the things that they're not dealing with. So
I'm going to go back to Macca's question, because Katie Allen did say yesterday on the project that she would cross the floor if this bill was landed. Would you do the same?
Well, I'm not going to conduct and I'm not going to project the Labor Party strategy to Scott Morrison. I don't need to.
Tell us yours.
My strategy is to get a bill that doesn't divide the nation. You know, Macca, and I, you know, I am deeply troubled, and I have not had, you know, I've not been sleeping well with this bill hovering over us. I find it so divisive and so cruel that Morrison has put this in front of us in a way that he knows it not only divides people, it divides political parties as well. So we cannot let that guy win.
But what he's doing, I think, is really clever, because it's just keeping all us preoccupied, focused on this cultural issue rather than what's really occurring in the nation at the moment.
Yeah, but sorry, Tass. He's preoccupying. He doesn't want to deal with the other issues. The issue that we have here is This bill is a bad bill. Sure, the amendments
I agree
will make it better, right? But at the end of the day, it is up to Josh and Katie Allen and Warren Entsch and Dave Sharma and a number of others to actually say, I'm not going to vote for a flawed bill, or I'm going to vote for a flawed bill, right?
Sure.
At the end of the day, and I realise these are difficult questions, Josh, I'm not asking you to speak on behalf of the Labor Party. I'm asking you to speak on behalf of this electorate, of the people, you know, in this electorate, and the concerns that you have.
Yep.
What are you going to do? Are you going to vote for a flawed bill?
That is not the only option ahead of us. The options ahead of us are...
What's the question?
I know it's the question. But the in front of us, we have a bill that contains part of... You know, most of the bill is not only uncontroversial, it's done in the same way that John Howard did the Age Discrimination Act. It's done in the same way that we did other discrimination acts. It's a good conventional discrimination act that prevents people being discriminated against. Not only do we support that, I think it's a gap in Australia's legislative framework. I don't think people should be discriminated against because of what religion they hold. You know, my family has experienced discrimination on the basis of our religion, and I don't think we want that in Australia. But there are other parts to the bill that are unresolved. And the question is, what happens to them? Now, if they were all to disappear, no one would have any controversial views about this bill, right? Frankly, everyone's in agreement that the other parts of the bill are uncontroversial. So the question is, do they get amended? You know, do we end up with a bill that is flawed, or do we end up with a bill that is not flawed? And at the moment, Scott Morrison is fighting with his own side about what should be in the bill. I think that he should be listening to some his own side. And if they do get to a stage where Liberal Party members and the Parliament make this bill, a one that can actually unify the nation and listens to the concerns, especially by, you know, Anna Brown will be on this program after, you know, she can outline some serious flaws in the bill. This contest hasn't started yet. The bill hasn't gone through the process yet. So there's a lot of work to be done, and we have outlined our principles. We do not want existing laws to be weakened. We do not want people to feel like they are going to be vilified. We do not want young queer kids to feel like they are not protected in this country. And we are going to keep working to ensure that we can get an outcome that everyone can be united on, or Scott Morrison can drop this thing because he can't even get his own side to agree on it.
Our Constitution says the Commonwealth shall not legislate in respect of religion.
Hmm.
How's that work?
Well, to be honest, Macca, there are other parts of this bill that would legal minds that are better than mine have questioned the constitutionality of it and whether or not they would, how they interact with state-based laws and state-based discrimination laws. The Senate committee, including government members, recommended that some of those bills be addressed. And it was astonishing that Michaelia Cash's own department released a statement that no consultation had been done with the states on the drafting of these laws. So it's like, I agree, this is a flawed bill that we are looking at. The question is, what happens to it? That's not just a question for the Labor Party. It's also a question for government MPs. And right now, government MPs are in revolt over Scott Morrison's position on this bill.
Well, government MPs won't talk to us. They don't want to talk to us about this. I just want to say on the record, I want to acknowledge the really hard work that Josh does as a local member, the advocacy for our community that started even before he became a local member. So don't mistake my assertive nature, listeners, with I want to beat Josh up. I don't, right? I want an outcome for our community. Josh has a vote in the House.
Yep.
I know he will use that with respect to his conscience, and I say to other members of Parliament, if you actually believe this is a bad bill and it's not going to work, you need to stand up for what you believe in. And it doesn't matter whether you're on the Labor side, an independent, whether you're a Liberal, whether you're a National, actually surprise us all and stand up for what you say you believe in. Talk is cheap, right? Actually stand up for what you believe in. That's what I want to say. I support Josh in his work on this. I know how difficult it's been for him. But he's in there fighting the fight. It's not an ideal fight, but he's fighting the fight. So thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Mac. It's very kind of you. And this thing isn't over. In fact, it hasn't even begun.
No, it hasn't. And I have to say, I'm a bit sick and tired of us as a minority group being talked about, not talked with, but talked about by the majority again, and essentially being thrown under a bus. I'm sick and tired of it.
Fair enough.
I normally don't express an opinion as strong as that, Macca, but here we go.
We are actually being thrown under a campaign bus. That's the bus that we've
been. But it's clear to me that this is not real. This is really about keeping all us preoccupied.
No, it's
and
about
focused on it's rubbish about rather
discriminating
than the
against
real
us. It's not about keeping us occupied. It's about treating us as second-class citizens. It's a distraction. It's about treating us as second-class citizens, right?
We need to take a break. Josh, thank you very much for coming into the studio. Great to see you again. We expect to see you on the streets tomorrow at Pride March.
We'll be here.
Excellent.
Pride March, everyone.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.